are making worship great today. We continue our sermon series, and we are talking about questions of greatness. What makes something great? Who is great? What is great? Who is the greatest disciple? Who has the greatest faith? What is the greatest commandment? And now for today, we turn to what is the greatest gift. And in each situation, the Bible gives us the opposite response from the one that we would expect. It's counterintuitive. It's countercultural. We have a standard of greatness, and God has a standard of greatness, and they are not always the same thing. Sometimes there is a complete disconnect between the two. That's what makes the kingdom of God so great and so wonderful, because it is not of us or our doing. It is of God and God's doing. With regard to who was the greatest disciple, it wasn't James and John, you remember, two of Jesus' greatest friends, the one who had been with him all along in this whole thing. No, instead, the greatest disciple is the one who strives to serve and the one who seeks to be last. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. With regard to who had the greatest faith, it wasn't all the popular people on the streets of Jericho. It wasn't all the famous people on the streets of Jericho. It turned out to be blind Bartimaeus. Not what we were expecting, but the Bible throws us a little reversal. With regard to which was the greatest commandment, it wasn't the commandment that made the Pharisees look good. It wasn't the commandment that made the priests and the scribes and all the elders of the temple look good. It was the one who loved the most. This was the greatest commandment. So in each of these, we see this great reversal at play. What we thought was up here is down here. What we thought was down here is up here. It is irony. God's irony. God's wink at the world, letting us know God's ways are not our ways. So the scripture today is no different. Mark's back at it again. His theme is consistent. Before us, we have another great reversal. This time, it is in reference to giving. What is the greatest gift? Who gave the greatest gift to God? And no one has specifically asked that question in this particular case, but the answer just kind of falls right in our lap. Let's take a look. Setting the scene again, remember, it is Holy Week. We're midweek in the heart of Jerusalem, in the heart of the Passover celebration. Jesus is right outside the temple. He has had a busy week. He is mixing it up with the Pharisees and the scribes and the priests and the elders and the Sadducees. And now, for just a moment, Jesus has finally had an opportunity to rest. Sit down, relax, just take it all in. And he happens to be sitting right across the street from one of the temple gates and right across the street from one of the offering boxes, where he can see, and all the disciples can see, all of these people coming forward with their offerings. Giving in Jesus' day was much more of a public display than it is in our day. We're much more private about it. But in Jesus' day, especially at the Passover, especially in that big celebration, it was a public event, and you could see what other people were doing for the most part, and it had become a show. People like walking up to the offering box, and they like making a lot of noise. If they had a lot of coins that they could dump in that box, they would... walk up and make quite a show, and everybody would ooh and ah and say, oh, look at all that they have given to the treasury of the Lord. And so you can understand what a contrast is coming. Because Jesus is sitting there with his disciples, and up walks a poor old widow, hunched over, reaches into her sack, pulls out 2 copper coins, almost worthless. It takes 2 of them to make a penny. And she reaches out and she drops them in the collection box, and that's it. That's all there is to it. And we don't know what the disciples were thinking at that point, but they must have been thinking something, because Jesus chose to take that moment and turn it into a teaching moment. He was probably watching them, looking at the expression on their faces, and he could probably just sense what they're thinking. And he says to them, "That woman has given more to the treasury than anybody else who was given to the treasury of the Lord." What? Are you kidding me, Jesus? Is this a joke? Nope, no joke. For everybody else who has come forward this day has given out of their abundance. This woman has given out of her poverty. She has given everything, all that she had, everything that she had to live on. And those 2 sentences turned upside down completely what the disciples were thinking and how they thought about giving. In God's economy, giving has less to do with amount and more to do with the gift itself, the sacrifice that is behind the gift. This woman had virtually nothing to give in terms of amount, but in terms of sacrifice, she gave everything. And in terms of sacrifice, that's what touches God's heart. That's what moves God to compassion. And that's how God gives to us, sacrificially. When God gave us Jesus Christ, God gave us all. God gave us everything. This was the roadblock for the rich young ruler who came before Jesus and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus went down the list, and he had done all those things on the list. Very faithful, very good man. And then Jesus said, "Well, go back and give all that you have to the poor and follow me." He could not do it. The rich man could give, but he couldn't give sacrificially. He couldn't give of himself, and that's what the widow has done. A tiny amount, but gave everything. What would she have for dinner that night? Who knows? What would she have for dinner the next night? Who knows? We're not told. We're just told that in that moment, she was willing to give everything, willing to give all. It was pure and honest and simple. And it touched God's heart. And in that moment, it was everything. I came across a meme that I really like. It's floating around on social media, and I'd just like to share that with you. The meme says, "Generosity is a gift that belongs to the Spirit. It doesn't depend on what you have. It depends on who you are." Exactly right. Generosity is not dependent on what we have. It's dependent on who we are. It's not dependent on our bank accounts. It's not dependent on our jobs. It's not dependent on our retirement accounts. It's not dependent on our stock portfolios. It's dependent on our hearts and what kind of people we are and what kind of people God has created us to be. Generous people are both rich and poor. Generous people give from the heart. And sometimes those who have nothing at all are the most generous of all. Great acts of giving, giving themselves, giving their hearts, giving their lives away. That's what that Christmas song, "The Little Drummer Boy," is all about. If you haven't heard it yet in the stores and the car radios, you're about to real soon, because they've already kicked into Christmas music around. But the little boy is standing there before Jesus. He is poor. He has nothing to give at all. What does he give? He plays his drum for Jesus. The most beautiful gift of all. In response to God's most beautiful gift to us, He gives of Himself. My grandmother died many years ago at this point, but at her funeral, the preacher told a story about my grandmother that I had never heard before. I never knew this about her, and I was touched very, very much. My grandparents had been living in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, right there along the railroad tracks in Harrisburg. It was low-income housing back in the 1940s, probably still is today, truth be told. My grandparents didn't have a lot of money. They were dirt poor. But that didn't stop my grandmother from feeding the homeless each day. She would set out sandwiches, take them out on a plate, and set them out on a table behind her house. And the homeless who lived there around the railroad tracks would come up and grab a sandwich and would sit down for just a moment and rest and enjoy the sandwich. And they would go back down and then find a place to lay their head wherever it was they were going to sleep for that night. I was touched. Hearing that about my grandmother, I never knew that about her, and it made me think differently about her from how I had ever thought about her before. Yes, she was always warm and kind and generous and caring and loving, but I'm her grandson. Of course she's going to do that with me. And then when I found out that she was doing this for the homeless, people she had never met, people she didn't know, that she treated them with compassion and love, even though she had almost nothing for herself, it made her a hero in my book. And I would guess that the disciples began to look at this woman at the treasury differently from how they had ever looked at her before. You know, one of the great ironies, as you heard Bob say at the beginning of this passage, the first part of this passage was Jesus was denouncing the scribes. The second part is about the widows. So this passage is both about scribes and widows. And Jesus is talking and teaching to them about the scribes. The scribes were a lot like the Pharisees. They liked outward appearances. They liked to look good with their faith. Sometimes they actually were good, sometimes they weren't, but truth be told, it was all about appearances, all about externals. And Jesus warned them, beware. Watch out for the scribes. They like their long flowing robes. They like their places of honor at the synagogues and the banquet meals. They like their titles. They like being seen. They like their popularity. But they devour widows. They devour widows. They devour the poor. They devour those who can least afford to be devoured. Jesus was pointing out the injustice in this world. They devour those people who matter to God. And so this widow, this poor old widow, the one who had nothing, gave everything. The one who was pushed down has risen up. She's the model. She's the one we aspire to. She's the one we look to as the model in our faith. And once again, our expectations of God and God's kingdom have been turned upside down entirely. I came across a little fun fact this week. I was just researching, and I came across a little fun fact on bees, about honeybees. I didn't know a lot about honeybees, but the average honeybee in the course of its lifetime will produce only about a teaspoon of honey. Its entire life. Working its entire life. Laboring its entire life. Its life offering. Its life gift is about a half a teaspoon of honey. About the amount that I will put in my tea when I have a sore throat and stir it up. And that honey in the tea is good and soothing and calming when I'm sick. It works for healing in my life. I don't think all the time a lot about that honeybee or about the process that it takes to go from pollen to bee to honeycomb to harvest to bottle to my teaspoon to my tea. But I'm thankful. And it occurs to me that in God's ordering of the world and God's great design of all things, great and small, This little bee reminds me of the widow in our story, who, though it is a tiny, tiny offering, gave everything. And thanks be to God for the generous ones of this world, with big hearts who give generously more than they can afford to give. Because in that, life is made just a little bit sweeter for the rest of us. Thanks be to God. So be it. Amen.